Today's guest is Ryan Steelberg, CEO of Veritone. This is one of those discussions in relation to AI. The difference being, this is not someone who just got into the game. This is someone with over two decades plus of experience in the development of this, even previously making an exit directly with Google for one of the companies that Ryan had founded. So if you want to understand the landscape, and in particular, where things are going with a publicly traded company, how they're viewing the landscape's evolution, and where they want to be involved in, this is a conversation you don't want to miss, because we get into all the details from their interest in enterprise side of things for the market to even the principles that they're standing behind, which, as you know, in the space of AI, those kind of character qualities are actually more important than the technologies being developed. So without further ado, Ryan Steelberg of Veritone. Why don't we go a little bit into your background in ad tech, which obviously did a lot of the work for where you are today and why you got involved the way that you did. I understand that algorithmically, in terms of Veritone transcription services, for example, a lot of that goes way back. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about that and how that led to the success you have today.
Well, great. Thanks for the time today. It's an ad tech story that starts. My career started in ad tech. I was at UCLA and I was, down and going a pre-med path. And thankfully, a new opportunity arose where my brother and I had an idea and a vision of what we could do with the World Wide Web, which was kind of exploding back in 19, when I say exploding, it was starting to emerge in 1994. So this goes back, quite a ways. I fast forward a little bit we created one of the very first, big, ad tech companies called AdForce. And it was an idea that we actually, came as a derivative of a bunch of real estate website properties out there in another initiative. I don't want to go down a tangent there, but we felt that wow, this is going to be an amazing new advertising medium. This World Wide Web, with just a game changer in terms of data and decisioning. I can know when an ad is delivered. I can know if somebody clicks on an advertisement on the World Wide Web. We were the founders of a company called AdForce, which we started in 1995. And we had great success, and we sort of helped manage the ad delivery and ad management for hundreds of big websites back in the day, like Yahoo and Lycos and some bygone names that don't exist anymore. And this is, this is pre-Google, right? This is, just post, AOL dominance. But, the ad tech story in there is, there's a couple key tenets there that I think there's a reason why a lot of the ad tech centric companies, including Google, became the leaders and pioneers of advanced AI, is we had to deal with so much data, right, in near real time, to make decisions on what ads to serve to the right person at the right time. So if I'm, trying to, again, serve 40, 50, 100 billion ads every hour, for example, how do you do that, right? How do you do that with the expense of CPU and legacy data centers in the past? And then when things got more complex, like I wanted to not just target to individuals, I want to target individuals, but I needed understanding of what you and I are looking at online. We just very quickly saw that neural networks and some of the, I'd say, the earlier precursors to some of the advanced AI that we are embracing today could be very effective tools that would help us sort of bridge the gap, to your point. Again, humans, it's inconceivable for humans to be making all those decisions, and could we invoke machine learning so our ad tech, in effect, could get smarter, right? Could we make better informed decisions based upon, right, autonomous actions and processes? And that's, and obviously it's advanced a ton, but I think, it goes back to, you have lots of data problems, you have to ingest it, you have to analyze it, and you have to cognitively make right decisions on what ads to serve. And therefore, if you kind of fast forward that with several generations of cloud expansion and GPU expansion with NVIDIA, that's where we are today, and now the latest iterations are the large language models, right? So I believe a major component of this whole thing comes from, frankly, wanting to serve better advertising. right? I think it's, you know, not too much more complicated than that.
Yeah. I mean, even myself, when I used to work at a marketing agency in New York, I recall one of the biggest challenges was trying to tell people what those numbers mean, where we're attributing what, and what are we going to do next? So absolutely, everything is centered around the ROI of what everyone is trying to accomplish through tracking, through things of that nature. And if I understand correctly, with AIware, something that Veritone is doing, you're approaching this in the way that MS Office, Microsoft Office would, if you will, in terms of like focusing on enterprises and giving them that visibility, all while having people involved. Can you open that up a little bit more and explain that to me?
Well, Veritone, the vision of Veritone was, and actually started with trying to solve an ad tech problem. But we, and this is, goes back to 2012, is we, the problem set was, could we ingest, you know, hundreds of hours, if not thousands of hours per day of audio and video, and be able to leverage cognitive based AI, such as, you know, real-time transcription, object detection, logo detection, et cetera, to start to understand the unstructured linear content, right, of video and audio. Very complex. And we, thankfully, we were successful in kind of our early iterations and prototyping. But during that those early days in 2012 through 2014, we worked, it wasn't just proprietary models that AI-based models and algorithms that we were developing. We were partnering with basically trying to find the best available solutions out there, right? Who was building the best transcription models? Who was building the best vision-based AI models? We were working with, in addition to our own model development, we started to work with Microsoft, and this was back when their cognitive services was still in their labs division, labs group, wasn't even in production yet. And also Nuance, if you remember Nuance, they were a big early player, ultimately acquired by, I think, by Microsoft, was a big player in transcription. Is the idea was, frankly, could we build what you're alluding to, Office, or I'll say more like Windows, could we build an operating system for AI that would allow us to onboard and orchestrate what we quickly saw? There's not going to be one AI model to rule them all, although it kind of feels like that at times with OpenAI and different things. But we envision a world that there's going to be thousands, millions, you take it to N, number of unique and very efficient AI-based models that could be applied, you know, or sequence or a combination of different models that could be the ideal recipe to solve a problem. So my point is, if I give you, and I'll give you an analogy, if I'm trying to transcribe in near real time Spanish versus grainy English, it doesn't mean that the same model is going to be effective for both, right? But we needed a platform so companies could build applications on top of it, and in effect, not worry about which model is the best, right? Like, meaning have confidence. I like to say is, you and I running up, we're playing World of Warcraft, right? And on our video, and you and I, as you know, every year, the next generation, right, NVIDIA graphics card comes out, right? And you're like, oh my God, we got to go get it. You and I don't have to throw away our video game to take advantage of the new GPU power of the new graphics card, correct?
Right.
Think of that like us for AI, right? Is, you and I are going to use applications, whether it's advertising solutions or helping police forces be more efficient. The technology is going to continue advanced underneath it, but that should not force a complete rewrite, if you will, of the application level. So that's AIware. AIware is a open source platform. I'm sorry, not an open source, an open platform that's cloud agnostic, that allows us to, again, onboard and orchestrate thousands of different models with an intelligent workflow and application layer on top of it. So again, more akin to it's the operating system for AI.
Yeah. And in this space, with all the new tools that are out, at some point it gets really expensive, especially for small businesses, to get into this and have access to these amazing tools that'll make a huge difference in what they're doing. Now, we have a lot of founders and entrepreneurs that are in the audience who are listening right now, and I'm pretty sure it would be exciting for them to learn like where Veritone sits in that market in terms of bills that they end up paying for access to these services. Can you sort of dive into why that might make more sense for smaller players?
Well, I think the good news for this, and thankfully some of the earlier decisions from Elon Musk and some of the founders, right, of OpenAI, that truly was their vision, right? That these tools shouldn't be owned and locked up by, you know, a few governments, the US military, or kept private by a few big companies. The true intent, and as you know, most of these models are open source, right? That's what's so exciting. So I'll answer the question in two parts, right? First, you know, every business owner, every startup CEO, every technical team, they need to fully educate themselves on all the tools out there, because there are a ton of tools that you can build sandboxes and POCs for cheap, if not free, right? So you know, before you start thinking about spending too much money or building your own architecture or your own instances of Bedrock on AWS, go play, go explore, right? You know, focus on what's your problem you're trying to solve, because I guarantee you there's tools out there that, again, are very, very cheap or free, right? That you can, in my belief, build effective proof of concept workflows to prove out your fundamental problem, okay? Prove out your model and will it solve that problem? When you move from ideation to production, I think because of groups like AWS and Bedrock, companies like Veritone and AIware, you can start in, you know, leveraging and utilizing these AI tools for very inexpensive. We have customers, although we have very multi-million dollar a year customers, we have customers that spend a couple hundred dollars a month with us, right? And they're getting the same level of enterprise support and enterprise tooling, right, and infrastructure support as our largest clients. So again, I think that there might be still a little bit of a stigma that there's, you know, an expense or a need to overinvest in resources to start leveraging the AI. I completely disagree. I think this is, I think there's lots of tools out there, and there's lots of companies, including the big hyperscalers like AWS and companies like Veritone, that you can start working with, right? For you know, frankly, just not, you know, for on pretty limited budgets. So, you know, go all in, because again, I do believe if you're not, I mean, that's really, it's the groups that are going to be leveraging AI versus the groups that are not leveraging AI, right? And I think you're going to see that digital divide expand, I'll call technology divide, expand exponentially fast here for those groups who are, you know, choosing not to embrace or fully embracing AI today for their businesses.
And that's kind of where I wanted to go with this, is there is a specific group that I hear is something that Veritone is focusing on, and that's the public sector. Can you sort of open up about that? That's what I have in my notes here.
Well, this technical innovation, as number one, it's open, right? And because of some of the consumer applications that have been sort of unleashed on society, you know, ChatGPT, you know, being sort of the most prominent of them, is, you know, big corporations, even flat-footed CEOs are like, what's going on? This technology, this next revolution is happening so fast. Well, wow, what about our government agencies, right? What about our police forces, our military? You know, there's a mad scramble. You know, and this is not the old days where, you know, DARPA and our military, right, had the best and brightest, and all the greatest technology was produced by, I think that what the pun is, military or porn, right, back in the day, right? But again, no, this is, you know, it's out there for everybody. And so, you know, I think, you know, we are working with both state and local law enforcement, hundreds of police agencies across the United States and around the world, as well as our federal government, both the Department of Justice and the DOD, to help them, empower them, again, with the same, you know, I'd say, a more secure version, if you will, of AIware and a suite of applications to let them, right, utilize these great tools. And just one example would be, you know, helping state and local law enforcement sift through all of the video. I mean, state and local law enforcement companies, our police forces, they're data producers now, right? Every time they have body cameras and dash cams, every time they do anything, they have to file logs. They have to photograph and document things if it's an investigation. And by default, now with Biden's sort of mandates here, you know, everybody's going to be carrying, if you're if you are in the business of Department of Homeland Security or in law enforcement of any kind, you're going to be having literally video cameras filming everything, right? And how do you process that? How do you manage all that insane amounts of data? So the point is that, you know, our job at Veritone is to, again, to make a framework and a suite of applications that is not just for commercial use, but empowering, you know, our both state, federal, and local municipalities and police forces with the same tools to make them transparent, to make them competitive and efficient.
Is this sort of what's tied behind what you're doing at Veritone with AI for Good in terms of what you're trying to accomplish?
I mean, the ethos of AI for Good is something that we take a lot of pride and passion in. We understand and appreciate that AI can be scary. It can be used for, you know, malicious intent. But it also, look at all the amazing things that it can do on a positive sense, right? We need to invest, right? Legitimate concerns, groups with, you know, high integrity, we need to embrace and leverage these tools, right? They're powerful, they're exciting. But again, we have to keep, you know, we have to self-check ourselves right now. Although you're starting to see Biden and others come out with proposals and concepts and timelines for AI governance. Well, the reality is it's here right now. So companies like Veritone, we have to set our own standards, right? We have to adhere to our own principles of explainability, right? Of transparency of our AI models. I mean, we're in some pretty sensitive areas, which we just touched on, right? Our AI is used in investigations, right? We need to be able to explain to the public and the district attorneys of how our models work. We're in the business of using AI to help companies hire, right? We need to understand or be able to prove that our models don't have bias. So, you know, AI for Good, I think, is an ethos. And I think what we've proven is we can be transparent, we can be open of how our solutions work and still make money, right? We're still a business, we're a for-profit business, but, and it's not just us. I mean, you know, that AI for Good, you know, I give a lot of kudos to the Azures of the world and AWS and others. We're all in this together, and you know, the Linux Foundation is a great organization that's doing a lot of exciting investments into protecting, right, society and civilization, candidly, from these technologies. So AI where good is not just a slogan. It's definitely an ethos that's sort of natively woven into everything we do.
Yeah, no, it's good to know that someone with your background is investing in this idea of AI for good. We certainly need it. And because you've been in the game for as long as you have, I feel like you're uniquely qualified to talk about where things might be going to some degree, as best as anyone could, especially better than anyone who hasn't been in the game for a long time. Where do you see the biggest opportunities, like even in enterprise AI, for example, in the next 5 years or so? What excites you about this?
Well, I think we're still in the hyper buzz phase, right, of AI. But I think what we're seeing here is we're transitioning from foundational elements of AI, right? Chips, GPUs, the NVIDIAs of the world, to the foundational side, the big foundational based models, the big LLMs, and to my mind, really the application side now, right? How are these, you know, how the infrastructure is being built, some of the, you know, the larger, I'd say, you know, generic models have been built. How now are these two going to be applied to each individual, each business, right? Each problem set. And I believe strongly that software is going to be a main part of that, right? The application of AI into workflows, into applications, which, by the way, is the bar is a lot lower, right? So it's a lot more competitive. Anybody can participate in those areas. And that's where I think this trend for the next, you know, 5-10 years is going to be so exciting is, I mean, it's truly, if you can dream it up, right, you can build it, you can deploy it for cheap, right? And you don't have to have a huge investments in GPUs. You don't have to have a team to go build your own proprietary transformer model or a new derivative of such. You know, let's get back to thinking about what the end problem is and let's go build some killer workflows and applications leveraging these tools, right, and go solve some problems. So again, candidly, it's not too novel of a position statement, but I think that, you know, that is, for me, is really exciting. You know, obviously it's, you know, a little self-serving because I think that's what we envisioned about it over a decade ago with the sort of development of AIware, but that's where I'm excited about. I do believe, unfortunately, we're going to be going through a lot of issues as it relates to malicious use of AI. You know, that's just, it's going to be a reality. So I was talking about the positive side, but these tools, I mean, if I can leverage these tools to try to solve complex problem for policing, there's going to be you know, people on the other side of the table are going to be trying to leverage these tools to advance cyber attacks and you know, misappropriate voices to try to break into people's, you know, bank accounts and stuff like that.
That's what
you know,
I was that thinking.
there's gonna be a battle, you know, of the new tool. I mean, I don't want to trivialize it too much, but you know, we used it a long time ago. It still holds true to a certain degree. It's like fire, right? The concept of fire was the most terrifying, right, element and property and manifestation, right, of energy in the world. It was terrifying. People were like, you know, but at the same time, when you harness fire for good, right, what it, you know, all it could do for heating water and purification and cooking food and all these different things and keeping you warm, you know, there's a million different things. So I just think we, as a society, whether it's corporations, legitimate concerns, or governments, we're going to have to be vigilant that we have to keep pace, because again, these tools are out there and they're going to be used for good and they're going to be used for bad. So that's something that unfortunately I think is inevitable as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if I remember correctly, Veritone is actually trading publicly on the stock market under VERI. Is this correct?
It is. Very. And very is it's the root of our word. It means truth, right? So, in you know, truth and Veritone was kind of a playoff of truth in the signal, right? Unstructured data. So, you know, that's where it comes. And thankfully, the domain was available. So, again, you know, kind of got lucky on that one. But I think we definitely all need truth, right, in our AI journeys going forward.
Yeah, and I saw the stock price. I mean, it could easily be valued way higher than that. Like, let's talk about how you're actually getting the word out about the fact that you're on the public market side of things. And what does that look like for you?
Well, you know, it starts with business fundamentals, right? I mean, even though we like to develop and write software as a public company, you know, it's taken us a while to sort of get our fundamentals in check, right? We can't be spending as much as we used to, right? I have to have a clear path to profitability. Yeah. You know, it does make it at times a little bit more challenging for us, right? You know, to compete if, you know, I don't worry about profits and losses, if you will. But I think the world's changing fast, right? I think these crazy valuations are seen in the private markets. At some point, these companies either have to be sold and liquidated or go public, right? And so, you know, I let's just say I'm very excited that Wall Street and the investment community is looking again at Veritone. We've been here for a while. You know, we have thousands of customers, and I like to say is, you know, we're one of the original gangsters, I guess, of AI. And so it's an old yet a new story, right? And I think that's what's exciting when people, you know, they finally, when the lens comes back on us, they see a company that's got great expertise, understanding, and a strong customer base, right, that truly are using AI, in most cases AI for good, that's also making great revenue. So I'm excited about, you know, sort of the newfound exposure that we're getting.
Now, because you are an original gangster as a company, who are some of the companies that have inspired you as you've been going along this path to building something that really solves people's problems? Are there any companies in particular outside of Veritone that stood out to you?
Well, so I'll give you two answers. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, having worked at Google in the past, you know, I sold a previous business to Google and I worked there for a while. And, you know, just, you know, whatever your opinion is of Google these days, but, you know, just there's the sheer horsepower of innovation at that company over a period of time has always been inspirational. I mean, you know, I think it was their 9 researchers that fundamentally, you know, created the first transformer model, right? So, you know, and did that come from a thought process or input function from ad tech? It absolutely did, right? So, you know, it's easy for me. It's a little bit reassuring to believe that I'm part of that ecosystem, right? So it gives me a you know, I'd say good momentum. But again, their passion for true next generation research and development has always been inspirational. But then I'm going to do radical. I just love companies like Adobe, right? They've been around for a long time. You know, we've all been using their applications. Forget AI, say it doesn't exist, but you know, we love Photoshop. We love Illustrator. We like all these killer products and services and applications that we've been using forever. And look at them. They are killing it. And they didn't have to build proprietary transformer models from scratch. There probably are, you know, for different reasons today. But what they did is they took killer applications and solutions and made them better with AI. They took Photoshop and they added Copilot and they made it better, right? They took And that's and Microsoft's doing the same thing, right? They're taking Microsoft Office and Word and Excel, and they're making them better. Okay. That's what that is what's inspirational. And frankly, the companies that are going to be making the most amount of money are the groups that are already solving a problem, and they're making that solution better with AI, right? So if you kind of hint, is that's why I'm pretty bullish on groups like Adobe, like Microsoft, who not just understand the foundational side, but they've been in the application game for a while. And if they could find a way to harness AI in there, it's very exciting. So I kind of look at it as an extreme of the true scientists who are developing a lot of these models and transformer models, all the way up to the brilliance of companies that have great application penetration and they're figuring out a way to apply and incorporate AI to make their solutions even better.
Yeah, the innovator's dilemma, that whole synopsis, I think, is going to be an interesting one to see play out, because while there is opportunity for these smaller companies to get their slice of the pie, I wouldn't bet against the bigger players either. They're just moving at a different pace. But one swing from them is a big swing. So I'm right on board with you in terms of looking at them as people who might be leading the way with that. So, I just want to make sure I open the floor. Is there anything I didn't cover? I really noticed a large emphasis on like being deeply involved and being present in amidst the technology, focused on people in what you've been talking about. And I'd love to know like why that, I think you sort of alluded to it with Very and Truth and people being the truth involved in everything, but I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on that too.
You know, I think this goes to, the people behind businesses. You know, I mean, I have been in this space a long time. It is a small space. Business, I don't care, even in the United States, technology, don't burn bridges. I mean, these are some simple tenets, right? Find just a few people that you trust implicitly, right? Like who's the people there's, you know, I like to say is, if you know, who do you want to bring into a foxhole with you, right? If a war breaks out, you know, it's an extreme position. But I think all those things hold true now more than ever, right? Is, you know, find great people that you're passionate, that you can be passionate together about trying to solve a problem. It's harder and harder. We're all working remote. We have all these machines doing and agents doing all these tasks for us. You know, find time, find the discipline to talk to your colleagues, to talk to your partners, to talk to your mentors, and see them physically, get in touch with them, like, you know, break bread with them. And I just think, you know, understanding the human in real life dynamic is as critical now as it ever has been. And I think that's been lost a little bit, right? For some obvious reasons like COVID and whatnot. But even now, I mean, we're, you know, regardless of what you think about the metaverse and augmented reality versus virtual reality, I have an Apple Vision Pro and it's unbelievable. I mean, it really, really is unbelievable. I think it's too heavy and I want it to be built into my contacts at some point. But, you know, it's just when you see that, you know, and I'm almost, you know, peeing in my pants because the dinosaur is going to eat me. That seems real, for example. You know, you're just like, where's humanity, right? So I think just let's, you know, as much as, you know, AI is for good is, hey, let's not forget the human element. And it starts at the very top. If you're the CEO, you're the founder, right? Don't lose that focus of engaging with your staff, with your mentors, with your colleagues on a physical basis.
I think those are great principles to have. And it's refreshing to hear that from a leader of an AI company leading the way on things. With that said, I want to open the red carpet for you and allow you to tell people who are listening, where can they connect with you? Where should they plug in with you?
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of information. We're actually going through a rebranding here. So hot off the press, in a couple of weeks, you're going to see a whole new look and feel and a new corporate website for Veritone.com. It's long overdue. But again, Veritone.com is where we have a lot of information. And for the audience, I mean, send me an email, right? Ryan@Veritone.com, Ryan@Veritone.com. I'm unfortunately still psychotic and I don't think I've ever gone to sleep without checking every single email in my entire life. So please, you know, I hope your podcast is wildly, you know, famous and you get trillions of views and listen. So hopefully my email is overwhelmed, but reach out. And if it makes sense and I have the opportunity, I'll try to get back in touch with you and answer any questions.
Ryan, right on, man. Thank you. You did it like a pro. I can't appreciate enough the energy you brought here and the time you took to break some bread with us about what Veritone is doing. With that said, I hope this isn't the last time we chat.
I hope not. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.